hard cap, like football. Yeah,
can
basketball.
You imagine what that? I mean, if he, if, what's the biggest contract? They're talking about $600 million for Shohei Ohtani.
As yeah, I mean, he's arguably the best pitcher and hitter in the game.
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah,
where are they right now from an attendance standpoint? The Angels, they're bottom half of the league. I watch these games. No one's going to the Angels games, but let's look it up and make sure that it's 100% factual. Like, and Ohtani plays for the team already.
Okay.
So as you look it up, where they are average attendance.
11th.
11th, okay.
33,417.
Right. So signing him to an extension is not going to create a new influx of people coming to the games. They're just going to stay right there.
Or you could let him walk. And then you could have less people.
You know what's interesting?
They should try.
I was doing some research today and about over different things regarding like topics that we talk about on the show. And I kind of asked myself, I don't know anything about Shohei Ohtani except that he's a great baseball player. And like, I've got all these opinions about where he wants to go and like where he should go. He never talks. Like, he's one of the most private athletes that I know that's a superstar. From what I hear, he lives around the block from the stadium. He walks back and forth to the home games every day. Like, I hear, like, they don't make him available to the media a whole lot. Like, he just kind of does his own thing. So, I mean, if he's got it like that, then, I mean, heck, if I'm him, I go to the owner and be like, as long as you're not going to change anything, I mean, just give me the extra bump in salary and I'll just keep chilling here. Because not many cities that are required, that are destination spots, are going to be to walk to the stadium for the home games.
I mean, a big bump in salary. He makes about $30 million this year. He'll be making, I don't know, $60
million? Yeah, that's pretty good. See if he buys into Survivor.
He could already buy us into Survivor, Sean. If you're making $30 million a year, you could already buy us into
Survivor.
Yeah,
but we don't want to stress him on the parameters, you know, the 30. We'll wait to get to 60.
Just give us 10 entries, Shohei, and we'll be good. But the Angels are beating the Yankees right now, 6-0. The Yankees in last place in the American League East at 50-46. So, you know, we will see how that all plays out. The Orioles won earlier today, so I believe they are tied for first in the AL East right now. So the Orioles and Rays sit atop the AL East at on July 19th, Sean. Interesting. Mm-hmm. That division is just an absolute monster, and the Yankees, who are at 50-46, would be in first place in the AL Central. But sometimes the neighborhood you live in is not that enjoyable. So we will see how this all plays out for the Yankees, who have hit a pretty ugly stretch here.
I don't know what they're doing at the plate, but it is not working.
Well, and a gentleman by the name of Judge sits on their bench injured. So,
by the way, did you actually make that?
This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of the Las Vegas Aviators Baseball Club and the Commissioner's Office of Major League Baseball and is intended solely for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. Any publication, reproduction, retransmission, or other use of the descriptions or other accounts of this game without the express written consent of the Las Vegas Aviators is prohibited.
Las Vegas Aviators Baseball is on the air. Target is locked.
Las Vegas Aviators Baseball on AM 920 Raider Nation Radio is brought to you by Visit Laughlin.com, Laborers 872, Pulte Homes, America First Credit Union, Valley Health System, STN Sports, and Credit One Bank, the official credit card of the Las Vegas Aviators. And now, let's go out to the ballpark. Here's 11-time Nevada Sportscaster of the Year, Russ Langer.
Hey, very hearty, good late afternoon, early evening to you from Smith's Ballpark in downtown Salt Lake City. I am Russ Langer, getting ready for game two of the six-game series here between the Aviators, the Oakland Athletics AAA team, and the Angels, top affiliate. They're the Salt Lake Bees. Las Vegas won last night by a score of 11-8. And for the Aviators, they're hoping to make it two straight here over the Salt Lake team tonight. But we've got a little weather situation right now. The tarp is on the field. We were told earlier there's a 30% chance of thundershowers, but now the radar, I'm told, is showing some mighty heavy weather headed this way, including possible hail. So The game is not going to start on time. We don't know exactly when it will start, but hopefully we'll get it in this evening with a single game again scheduled tomorrow. Game three also, same start time as tonight, 5:35 Pacific, 5:20 pregame show. The starting pitchers tonight, lefty Kyle Muller, who is 1-3 in 8 starts for Las Vegas, is 6.98 ERA. He was the Oakland Athletics opening day starter this year, and now he's with the Aviators. He's been up and down a couple of times. The Salt Lake Bees were supposed to go with their top pitching prospect, Chase Silseth, who was 4-1 with a very nice 2.79 ERA, but Silseth got called up today, so it's a bullpen day for Salt Lake for this game, assuming the game is played. Lefty Jonathan Diaz will start. He's had a great year out of the bullpen. 29 relief appearances. He's 6-0 with a 3.33 ERA. That's the matchup for this one. Our pregame guest is Las Vegas switch-hitting corner infielder Logan Davidson. Logan Davidson went to Clemson. His dad, Mark Davidson, played for about 6 years in the big leagues with two different teams. And Logan's off to a good start. In the first month at Triple A, he's hitting .289 with a couple of homers and 20 batted. And former first-round pick, was stuck at Double A Midland for about 2.5 years. And so far playing well, as I said, in his first month at Triple A. We'll chat with Logan Davidson next, right after this.
Just can it. My grease, it hits me so hard, makes me say, oh my lord, thank you for giving me a big brown. Can't you catch this grease? No good when it goes down the pipes and the drains and it heads into town. I know with this pan, no pain in the drain, put it in the can. For more information about how you can keep fat, oil, grease, and grit out of the drain, visit painofthedrain.com.
Hey, did you know nacho fries are back at Taco Bell? But they're not going to hang around forever, so don't wait. Or you might miss out on these hot, crisp fries covered in all those bold Mexican spices with delicious nacho cheese sauce. Or wait and just settle for flavorless fries. Regular, bland, spiceless, flavorless, flimsy, non-nacho fries. Just an absolute bummer of a fry.
Nacho fries are back. Get them today, only at Taco Bell. At participating U.S. Taco Bell locations for a limited time only while supplies last. Contact local store for hours and participation with fare.
For the early to rise road trippers, the late night truck drivers, or even the bucket list checking baseball fans, your Wyndham is waiting, no matter who you are, where you're going, or why. With 24 trusted brands to choose from, like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, there's a hotel by Wyndham for everyone. Wyndham Hotels and Resorts, the official hotel of minor league baseball. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
As of March 2022, Hyundai has won more total IIHS top safety awards than any other brand over the past 8 years, with optional front crash prevention and specific headlights. And here's another reason to feel safe. Every new Hyundai comes with America's best warranty. It's your journey. Own every mile with Hyundai. Get 0% APR for up to 36 months on the 2023 Hyundai Tucson. See your Las Vegas area Hyundai dealers. Offer ends 7/31/23. Call 714-568-7676 for details.
Visiting with Logan Davidson of the Las Vegas Aviators before tonight's game. A little threatening right now, but looks like we're going to get the game, and hopefully so. Game two, Aviators taking on the Salt Lake Bees. Logan, where did you grow up?
I grew up in North Carolina, just outside of Charlotte, in a town called Statesville, on a little farm. So more of an outdoor person, but I grew up on the East Coast.
Braves?
Not really. My dad played. He played for the Twins and the Astros. So I'm more of a players fan, really.
Let's discuss your dad, because he had several years in the big leagues. If you would, discuss his influence on you and what he has meant to you in your career.
I mean, it's truly, I mean, I probably wouldn't even have played this game without him. I mean, I've had him since, you know, I was playing wiffle ball in the driveway, hitting from both sides of the plate. Honestly, solely because of him. And he was a right-handed hitter. So he wanted me to be able to hit, you know, the sliders going away from you. So be able to hit from both sides of the plate was important. So I've always done that my whole life, really. And it's given me an advantage up to this point, really, like just being able to hit from both sides of the plate and play up the middle, play shortstop, play anywhere on the infield. It's given me a huge advantage just from him starting me off early that way.
What about the mental side of the game? How has he helped you in that way?
Yeah, it's not your typical parent, I guess you'd say, in like youth sports where, you know, you get upset if you go over four. He understands the game. He knows what it's like to be in the trenches and to do well, to do bad. So it's definitely great to have a person like him in your corner and just be able to, you know, be there with you in the tough times and then when you're going really good as well, just to have that influence.
Logan Davidson, our guest in the pregame show. Logan, are you more comfortable one side or the other when you hit?
Honestly, it differs based on the number of at-bats I get. I mean, usually it's left-handed I'm more comfortable just because I see a lot more righties. But as I get more, you know, at-bats right-handed, it'll honestly flip-flop. I get that question a lot. But, yeah, it's about even depending on where I'm getting my at-bats from.
What about a program like Clemson? How did a strong program like that help you?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, just being able to mature as a person, mature as a player, going in there at, you know, 18 years old, coming out at 21. Had a great head coach there, Monty Lee. Just a wonderful facility, amazing ballpark, and a university. And just in general, it was truly spectacular. Just experience overall. I got to meet my wife there, so that was, you know, the biggest blessing of them all. But it was an awesome experience to go to Clemson.
And finally, your elevation now to AAA for the first time. Been a couple of years at AA. What did that experience mean to you? And what have you found different on the way up here?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough experience my first year. We had the COVID year, obviously. That was supposed to be my first year coming out of the 19 draft. So I skipped a whole, I guess, you know, year and a half, whatever it was. And then got, you know, thrown into the fire in AA and, you know, wasn't quite able to figure it out very quickly, at least, to say the least. And then I feel like the transition I made was going into the fall league after that first full season. I hit really well in the fall league and even in 22 last year, hit really well in AA. And then, you know, hit well again going through this year in AA and was able to get the call up here, you know, maybe a month and a half ago, whatever it was. But yeah, it's been a pretty awesome experience to be up here. The game's the same. I mean, we get, you know, the facilities are a little bit nicer and stuff. The travel's a lot better. So it's just, it's been fun to be here.
Thank you, Logan. I appreciate the time today. Yeah,
thank you, Russ.
Logan Davidson joining us. I'll be back with a starting lineup next, coming up right after this.
Win prizes with Club Ride when you ride the bus, bike, carpool, walk, or work from home. Club Ride can help you find a better way to work that will save you time and money. Plus, Club Ride gives away hundreds of prizes every month for reporting your work or school trips. Sign up at ClubRideLV.com or download the Club Ride Rewards app and start scoring prizes today. Club Ride is a free service brought to you by the Regional Transportation Commission of Southern Nevada.
Keep your energy going strong with FlexPay from NV Energy. FlexPay helps you flex your budgeting muscles with more ways to pay. Pay in advance or as you go. Pay down past due balances and choose the amounts and dates that work best for you. All without any deposits, credit checks, or late fees. So whether you want more flexibility or are just trying to manage your budget, FlexPay can help keep it in good shape. Learn more and sign up at nvenergy.com/FlexPay.
If you need to sell your house,
talk to Aaron Taylor.
You want to sell it fast and get the most cash, talk to Aaron Taylor,
the real estate guy.
Okay, Vegas, time to sell your house fast and get the most cash. The real estate market is heated up again, and here's your chance to take advantage and get top dollar.
We buy all types of properties in 5 days or less. We give cash advances within 24 hours and do all repairs if needed to get you, the seller, the most money possible.
And for traditional sales, we have an amazing marketing team in our corner.
Call today and get an instant evaluation of your home.
Imagine selling your home with the number one team in Nevada, getting top dollar and having an incredible experience. That's what you get with us, the real estate guys.
Our systems are exclusive to our team, and we have helped thousands of families over the last 28 years.
So call the real estate guys today. 702-310-6683. EXP Realty, license number 388886. Call for details.
Talk to Aaron Taylor,
the real estate guy.
And welcome on back. We thank Logan Davidson for joining us on this evening's edition of the pregame show. Adrian Martinez will be the starter for tomorrow night's game. Adrian is 0-5, but he did pitch much better his most recent effort, a 3 innings of scoreless effort at Las Vegas Ballpark against Reno last time out, so he'll give it a try tomorrow. The Salt Lake Bees have not announced their starter for tomorrow yet. Again, their starter for tonight had to be changed when the original starter scheduled for tonight, Chase Silseth, got called up. So they're going to go with Jonathan Diaz. Meanwhile, we have tonight's starting lineup for the Las Vegas Aviators. And again, to repeat, if you missed it prior to the interview with Logan Davidson, if you're just tuning in now, there's a rain delay here in Salt Lake. They have covered the field now with a tarp. and some of the rain. It's just very lightly coming down now, but based upon what's on the radar, they're expecting much heavier rain shortly and possibly some hail along with it. For Las Vegas, they are managed by Fran Reardon of the Oakland Athletics AAA team. The overall record is 44-46, and their second half record is 10-6. For Las Vegas, leading off in left field will be Max Schumann. Batting second, the rehabbing Oakland A's outfielder, who's actually DHing in this game, Ramon Laureano. We are told he'll get three at-bats and then sit the rest of the game out. In the third slot, second baseman Jonah Bride. The cleanup man is the first baseman, Yoel Pozo. All he did last night was go 5-for-6. His first five-hit game ever for the Aviators, his second in his career. He did it at Round Rock once early in his career. In the five slot, the shortstop, Darryl Hernandez, hitting sixth in center field, Connor Capel. In the seventh slot, our pregame guest, third baseman, Logan Davidson. Batting eighth in right field, Trenton Brooks. And hitting ninth in catching will be Kyle McCann. Starting pitcher for Las Vegas, the big lefty from the Dallas area, that's Kyle Muller. One win, three defeats, a 6.98 ERA in nine games, all starts for Las Vegas. The Salt Lake Bees are the Angels' AAA team. They have the same overall record as Las Vegas, 44-46. And their second half record, seven victories to go along with nine defeats. In a head-to-head matchup, it's close. The teams have played 13 games. Las Vegas has won six, and Salt Lake has won the other seven. For Salt Lake, the Angels' AAA affiliate managed by Keith Johnson, leading off in center field, Jordan Adams. Jordan spells it J-O-R-D-Y-N, Adams. Hitting second, just recently optioned down again from the Angels, is shortstop David Fletcher. Hitting third, the veteran infielder who's DHing in this game, Daniel Murphy, the former New York Met. The cleanup man, second baseman Kevin Padlo. Batting fifth at third base, Levon Soto. In the sixth spot, playing left field for Salt Lake, Jack Lopez. Hitting seventh at first base, Jared Walsh. In the eighth slot for the Bees, the right-handed hitting catcher, Chris Okey, O-K-E-Y. Batting ninth in right field will be Brett Phillips. On the mound, lefty Jonathan spells it J-H-O-N-A-T-H-A-N, Jonathan Diaz. 6-0 in 29 relief appearances, a 3.33 ERA, a bullpen day for the Bees, if, in fact, the game is played. Rain delay right now. We will now send it back to syndicated programming at Lotus, and I'll just keep in touch with you with regard to the status of this game. They are thinking and hoping and expecting the game will be played, but right now we just don't have any idea when that might be. So we'll toss it into the lap of our very capable friends back in the Lotus Studios, and we'll have some syndicated programming for you in the meantime, but we'll keep up with you, and as soon as I get some updates as to the status of this game, you will be the first to know. Russ Langer in Smith's Ballpark in Salt Lake City, where the tarp is on the field. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to stay tuned.
Part of what makes him an eclectic personality. It's part of what makes him so interesting. It's also part of what makes him, you know, somewhat controversial at times. So to be speaking on this, you know, it shouldn't come as much of a surprise to anyone that's followed his career to know that he's going to be outspoken and he's going to speak his mind and he's going to let you know exactly, you know, how he feels and what he thinks. I think at this point, you know, maybe just not talk about this. You know, it was a bad look. It obviously affected the team. Be the bigger man. You already knocked him out. Like, what more needs to be done? You need to shovel more dirt on this kid. You won. He got traded out. He's in Washington. You got your new deal. You got to stay. Like, what more needs to be said or done in this situation before you get your closure, right? Like, that to me, with him laying that out there, that to me comes across as a guy who wants to make sure, like, hey, hold on a second, people. You don't know the full story. Here's what really went down. We know what went down. You went up and you sucker punched the guy. Like, we all saw it. Yeah, you've been in the league 11 years. You're 33 years old. You're a multi-time champion, defensive player of the year. You made a ton of money. Like, put it behind you, dude. Just put it behind you and move on. You already won everything. The organization picked you over him. Just let it go. I'm surprised it's still a thing for him, to be honest with you.
Well, it's still a thing because Draymond Green is still making it a thing. The reason this punch is still being talked about essentially a calendar year later is because Draymond Green is still the one out here talking about it. Let's be clear about that. Draymond seems to be enjoying it. He seems to be reveling in it. And all of that adds to my frustration of, like you said, him winning from this situation, because there is no justifying it to me. I don't care what Jordan Poole said to you over time. I don't care how many comments it was. Anyway, you cut it, you punched the dude in the face at practice in front of everybody in front of a camera, and we all saw it. It was the punch heard around the world. It tanked your entire season the following season. Let's be real about that. We are talking about a player in Jordan Poole who was pivotal in helping the Warriors win a championship. It's why the Warriors paid Jordan Poole the way that they did. And then Jordan Poole looked like a different player this past season. And how much of that had to do with Draymond? Probably a lot. And how much of that had to do with that moment? Probably a lot. That wasn't a positive thing for his team. He didn't win in that regard. Draymond might have won in terms of he's the one there and he's the one who just got paid this season to stay there. So he might feel like he won for his bank account, but he didn't win in the actual win-loss column here. The Warriors didn't do anything here this season. The Warriors had a terrible showing against the Lakers in the postseason. Jordan Poole was a shell of himself this season, and it probably all stems back to that tension that was created there with Draymond. So ultimately, Draymond should be ashamed of this because it harmed them in the long run. It harmed the Warriors. It harmed what they were able to get done this season. And yet he's out here boasting about it. He's out here reveling in it. He seems like he's very proud of the fact that he punched Jordan Poole in the face. Jordan Poole's on social media in response saying, talk of the topic, find you a hobby. He's quoting lyrics. And I gotta be honest, Jordan Poole makes a lot of sense here. Like, find yourself a hobby, Draymond. Why are you out here spending so much time on this? Why are you out here still talking about it? So we might act like Draymond won this fight, so to speak. And, of course, it looked like he won it on the video. But I feel like Jordan Poole's living in Draymond's head.
Well, with Draymond, I think he knows how bad it makes him look. Because it's there's no one who saw that and was like, yeah, he's in the right. I mean, there's so many. It does. Whatever was said, whatever message he's trying to get across as to why that led to that problem. I mean, Poole's what compared to you? Like, you're supposed to be one of the big three, man. Like, you've been there forever from the start of the dynasty. Like, you're supposed to be one of the leaders. You're one of the faces of the franchise. You're one of the highest paid players. You're one of the most popular people in the Bay. Who's he? Like, he's a role player. And he was looking like he could be a good role player, and things fell apart, so be it. But I don't know why it just feels like he's trying to get this message out that, you know, it's not as bad as it looks. Maybe I'm not that bad of a guy, for those of you who think that. Obviously, there's probably a lot of war words taking place behind the scenes. There's probably a lot of people that still ask him about it because it was a very big story. But the Warriors were absolute garbage on the road this season. They were one of the worst road teams in the NBA. I think it was like the Spurs, the Pistons, and the Hornets were the only teams that had fewer road wins than the Warriors. And I find it hard to believe that those two things aren't correlated. Because when you're on the road, you don't have to worry about family. You don't have to worry about all the stuff that goes on at home. It's just you and the team. That's when the camaraderie is supposed to be built. And it doesn't feel like that team had a whole lot of camaraderie. And it feels like that may have been a big reason why.
And that may have been largely Draymond Green's fault, frankly. But Pat Bev did ask him about it, I guess, in fairness to Draymond. I would just say at this point, Draymond could find a way to brush off the question far better than he does. But he wasn't holding any punches back on this podcast, on the Pat Bev podcast. He also discussed how he doesn't like Chris Paul, who, by the way, is now his teammate.
It's not sugarcoating what has happened all these years. This is real life, man. Like, people get it twisted, like, oh, man, like, you're in character when you're... No, this is real life we live in when we're playing in these games. And so, like to just go front and act like all of those things was fake. Like, I publicly said I didn't like Chris before. Like, I'm just not going to be like, oh man, that changed. Now he's my teammate. No, I look forward to talking amongst men. I look forward to working with another adult. You know, I've had my fair share of days of like not working with adults and people who don't move like adults. Right. So I'm looking forward to going to work with an adult. Right. You know what I'm saying?
I don't totally agree with Draymond that it's not a character. Like, I get it's real life. I get he's actually out there doing things. But also, Draymond Green has become a bit of a character. He just has.
Well, yeah. And, I mean, he's popular for it. And that's why post-basketball, he's going to have a very lucrative and very successful career waiting for him.
Absolutely.
Because he has extraordinarily high basketball IQ. He's one of the smartest players in the game. So his ability to break down the game, to analyze the game, to discuss the game, that carries value in its own right. But he's also very outspoken, and he's got a lot to say, and he's not going to pull any punches, and he's entertaining. You know, it was always funny to me that he and Charles Barkley were going back and forth so often with the war of words, when he's kind of like the modern-day Charles Barkley, mm-hmm. right? I know their games are different, but he reminds me of Barkley. Just the outspokenness, a bit undersized compared to the guys he's trying to do battle with down in the trenches, but just the heart, the ferocity, the intensity, all that stuff. He's going to be the next guy to step into that seat and entertain people in a certain way, kind of like how Charles has done for all these years.
He's a heel, and he embraces it. And I do think a lot of it's character for Draymond. And I do think that he will cultivate it into an entire career post-basketball, which is why I think that he works on that character and that he embraces the role as the heel. Charles Barkley to me comes across a lot more likable and a lot funnier, but at the same time, that might just be because right now we're in the throes of Draymond's career. So it might look a little bit different than it looks on the back end when he's in broadcasting and he's taking on a more lovable role than he is right now. Coming up next here on ESPN Radio, it is your turn to chime in. We want to open up the phone lines to you. 888-SAY-ESPN. Bring us your hottest take. What do you think of what Draymond said? Anything else that you've got on your mind? 888-729-3776. We'll play some caller roulette next.
Greeny.
LeBron James, if you refuse to acknowledge that this guy is as good as anybody that ever lived, at this point, I think it says more about you than it does about him.
Weekday mornings at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. This is Greeny.
Hey, Greeny. I made a graphic from the Aaron Rodgers open of the show. If you want to collab on it, I can accept it from your page. What does that mean?
Collab is when you invite someone to share a post with you.
What posting something is in the first place? I'm inviting everyone to share it?
In this case, ESPN and you posting in conjunction.
I just wrote back. I love it. How do I do that?
Well, that's a good start.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg. Weekday mornings at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can watch and listen on the ESPN app.
Major League Baseball second half is here, and the push to the postseason begins. Give us baseball's next level superstar and the sounds of the game. What a catch!
That was fun. Y'all might need to come around more.
Sunday Night Baseball. Mets. Red Sox. Sunday at 7 Eastern on ESPN. Presented by Casamigos Tequila.
Toad is next.
I told you about Jim, Paul. I mean, he said he wants to be on Wheel of Fortune. Is a word? Is that a word?
Weekdays at 3 Eastern on the ESPN app and the SEC Network.
How do you bond with someone you have nothing in common with?
The game last night?
Answer, fantasy football. How do you reconnect with old friends?
Hey.
Answer, fantasy football. How do you spice up small talk? How do you overcome awkward situations? How do you prove to your peers that you're a smart, capable, devastatingly good-looking force to be reckoned with, and nothing they can do or say will ever change that? Answer, ESPN Fantasy Football. Play the number one fantasy game. Sign up at ESPN.com/fantasyfootball. Insights provided by IBM Watson.
Yo, it's Jay Williams. Coming up on Thursday, the ESPN Radio Rank'em Series continues with my top five pretenders. You know the teams people think are good, but they're actually not. Don't miss it at 6 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN App, and ESPNU.
SC
SEC Network heads to Nashville for the start of SEC football talking season.
This is the SEC. It is the league.
We'll talk with some of the biggest names in the game.
Excited about our football team as everyone is
because there's a lot of opportunity.
To get all the inside stories.
This is how we do it around here.
And that fits me really well.
SEC Football Kickoff Media Days presented by Regions continues through Thursday on SEC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app.
Did you miss Canty and Carlin?
Winning the Powerball, there wouldn't be an adjustment in terms of learning how to deal with all of the challenges that come along with falling into a lot of money. There's like living well, and then there's being wealthy. I would contend that nobody on the ESPN radio network loves money more than I do. I love money. I'm like Scrooge McDuck. I like this. I wish I could have all of my money in a money bin and just go swimming in it.
Canty and Carlin, weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80.
We're going to take your phone calls in just a moment. We are opening up the phone lines to you. 888-SAY-ESPN. We love when you join the conversation. 888-729-3776. Joe and Amber on ESPN Radio is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. Before we get to your phone calls, though, Joe's got a little bit more advice.
Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
Open Championship at Royal Liverpool starts tomorrow. Final pizza money of the evening is a first-round matchup bet. Hideki Matsuyama minus 120 over Jason Day, which means for tomorrow's first round, I'm betting Matsuyama plays better, scores lower than Jason Day. That's it. It's the first round. It's all that matters. Mostly this is a fade, meaning I'm betting against Jason Day. He won the Byron Nelson back in May. After that, he missed the cut in three straight events. Then he finished 45th at the Travelers about a month ago, and we haven't seen him since. Maybe he's gotten his game back together. I'm betting he hasn't. He's missed the cut in his last two Open Championship starts as well. Now, Matsuyama isn't being priced very favorably in this event. It's because he hasn't done very well with his driver this season. But you don't need to be great with the driver at Royal Liverpool. You can leave it in the bag and play more conservative because they have so much out-of-bounds space on this course. Just ask Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy. I believe the years were 2006 and 2014, respectively. When they won at Royal Liverpool, they kept the driver in the bag for large portions of the tournament. Final pizza money of the night, Hideki Matsuyama minus 120 over Jason Day. First-round matchup tomorrow.
13 black odds, no winner.
Spin the wheel, make a deal. It's a game of chance. Let's play. Call a roulette with Joe and Amber.
It is a game of chance. Let's spin it. Matt is calling us from Richmond. Hey, Matt, thanks for the call for Joe and Amber. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. It's great to hear y'all, and I love listening to you. I was just calling about Draymond, and I mean, it's one thing. I mean, you see, like in football practices between linemen, they fight all the time, but they're in pads, and it's not a big deal because it just happens at the end of plays. But what Draymond did was totally ridiculous, and I mean, it was a sucker punch, and it was crazy. I mean, and they didn't suspend him long enough for my taste. And I mean, he just showed that he's a punk. And especially hitting a guy that's a lot smaller than he is, it wasn't right.
Thanks so much for the call there, Matt, and for the kind words. I do tend to agree with Matt's point there because when we think about fighting in sports surrounding practice, it does happen all the time in the NFL, from what I understand. NFL players will tell you, hey, it's commonplace, happens all the time, particularly during training camp, particularly when you're getting ready for the season. It's long days, it's hot, you're out there, you're frustrated, it's a very physical sport. But like Matt said, you're often in pads, it's the environment, and it is the way that that sport goes. The NBA is a very different animal in that regard. And this didn't seem like one of those situations. It wasn't like just some little scuffle amongst teammates that everybody's used to seeing and everybody gets past. It feels like they weren't able to get past this altercation, and it quite literally ended up costing them, not just throughout the regular season, not just on the road in terms of that abysmal record, but also in terms of postseason success.
If they're standing face-to-face and they're shoving and pushing and then a punch is thrown and a guy gets hit, that's one thing. That's a fight. This was a sucker punch. This was one guy walking up to another and punching him without him knowing it was coming. It's a sucker punch. Classic sucker punch. The biggest problem for everyone involved in this is that that video made it public. Because if no one ever saw what it looked like, the situation's different. We hear there was a fight. Stories are mixed. You can't confirm anything. But once you get a look at it, it looks horrible for Draymond Green. End of story. It looks horrible for Jordan Poole, too, but for a completely different reason. And it really doesn't help that his father's on Twitter trying to fight his battles for him right now. Like, at some point, this thing needs to end for all parties involved because no one looks good.
Yeah, I didn't even mention that Jordan Poole's dad had tweeted out some words against Draymond Green there. It didn't look good for anybody involved. It also didn't look good for the Golden State Warriors because that caller said Draymond was suspended. Was he even suspended? I don't remember him being suspended for that whole thing. Wasn't that the whole thing? Yeah, because the NBA couldn't. Wasn't that the whole thing? Like, the NBA wasn't involved because technically it was during training camp or something. Like, there was some parameter where it didn't fall under the guise of the NBA, so they weren't going to suspend him, and it was some bobo suspension from the Warriors, right, that came down for Draymond. I don't know. He basically got off very easy for that whole situation with Jordan Poole, but it looked very, very bad for everybody involved, and Draymond got paid, and Jordan Poole is now on the Washington Wizards. Let's spin the wheel. Sean is in Minnesota. Hey, Sean, thanks for the call. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey, Joe and Amber. Clemson, my six-year-old boxer dog, and I are huge fans of you guys. We love the show. And we were wondering what you thought of if they should have traded Carl Anthony Towns and kept Rudy Gobert. And then lastly, we wondered what you thought about D'Angelo Russell, if we should have traded him and kept Mike Conley. What do you guys think? Thanks a lot.
Okay, well, talking about Minnesota, huh?
Yes, it's a Minnesota Timberwolves fan looking for help, looking for ways to get out of the current situation. Obviously, keeping Rudy Gobert, because I don't think you're trading away that contract.
So first and foremost, if you're on the phone with Danny Ainge, probably don't go through with the deal. Like, that's rule number one, right? Because Danny Ainge seems to have a pretty good idea of how to build a team. So if he's trying to move Rudy Gobert to you and your team's giving up 4 or 5 first round picks, that might be phase number one. Number two, you've got Anthony Edwards, who is awesome. So you're going to be building around him moving forward. That's got to be the key. What is the optimal way to build around Anthony Edwards so that you can compete at a high level and not turn into a Dame Lillard Portland type situation? Because Edwards, at some point, he might want out. He's good enough to be able to ask for that sometime in the near future and get a lot of teams excited. So Carl Anthony Towns has never really struck me as that guy, but that doesn't mean he can't be a useful piece if utilized properly.
A lot of people think that he can't be that guy. Some of that has to do with his personality as well. Quickly, Chris, the heck with the wheel. Chris is in Irvine. Hey, Chris, go ahead. You got 30 seconds.
Thank you. We all know Draymond is a bully. He won't mess with no brother, 6'8", 6'9". He picks on people smaller than him and who knows they won't retaliate. These guys are raised by their moms. Most of them are soft, and they don't know how to protect themselves. And where were the other teammates to protect Jordan Poole?
It was interesting that nobody else showed up for Jordan Poole, but I think it was
nobody
because
nobody did anything.
It was, but it was also like it was a sucker punch, you know. Like, so it was so out of, I think everybody's also caught off guard, and it's Draymond Green. He is the man when it comes to that team. Unfortunately for Jordan Poole, that's the way that it goes. But you're right, nobody did anything. But I think some of that was a level of surprise. We're still talking about it. Are they still going to be talking about it on Freddie and Fitzsimmons? That's next.
Yo, it's Jay Williams coming up on Thursday. Nick Saban hasn't won a title in 2 years. I'll tell you if it's time for Bama fans to start worrying about their future. Don't miss it. 6 a.m. Eastern, right here on ESPN Radio, ESPN App, and ESPNU.
Bundling and saving with Geico is an easy choice, so you're free to ponder life's big questions, like, what's the best animal in the world if not humans? I'd strongly consider ducks to be somewhere up there on the list. Think about it. Ducks can swim, ducks can fly, and ducks can walk on land. They have access to all terrains. They are the ultimate animal. And they wiggle their butts when they walk, which is funny. Yeah, ducks are awesome. End of story.
Bundling and saving with Geico, it's an easy choice.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I'm looking for fuel injector cleaner.
Right now, buy a bottle of Chevron Techron Complete Fuel System Cleaner and get one free, only at AutoZone.
Will it also help with my mileage?
Get everything you need to restore your performance in MPGs.
Wait, is it good for trucks too?
Whatever vehicle you have, you can find the right products and parts at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Yo, it's Jay Williams. Coming up on Thursday, the ESPN Radio Rank'em Series continues with my top five pretenders. You know the teams people think are good, but they're actually not. Don't miss it at 6 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN App, and ESPNU.
Canty and Carlin.
I think it's best if we, as two bigger guys, offer our combined tips for you to enjoy a big hot guy summer. That didn't sound right, but you know what I mean. Number two, Canty, do not try to overstate the importance of the cold shower in the summer. If you go tepid, if you go warm, you are going to be sweating all day long.
Number one.
Canty, I can't overemphasize this enough. The white shirt. The white shirt is your friend on two fronts. Number one, the white will deflect the sun, and number two, the white shows the sweat the least of any other shirt. The white shirt in the summertime is the fat man's friend.
I'm okay with the white shirt, but we just have to make it clear, disclaimer, you need an undershirt under the white shirt. You have to have the undershirt under the white shirt.
Sometimes the undershirt causes more sweat, though. Be careful.
Canty and Carlin, weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80.
How about Rooster in Texas? Good afternoon, Rooster. Thank you, Rooster. Enjoyed that call, too.
Paul Feinbaum, weekdays at 3 Eastern on the ESPN app and the SEC Network.
Hey, this is Adrian Wojnarowski. Check out my podcast, The Woj Pod, with insight and analysis on the top stories in the NBA.
Adrian Wojnarowski, our insider extraordinaire.
Reaction to breaking news.
This is the latest Woj bomb.
And in-depth conversations with some of the biggest names in the league.
Thanks, Woj. Do it again.
I'm good. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Yes, thank you, Woj. Appreciate you having me on.
Listen and subscribe to The Woj Pod wherever you listen to podcasts.
They counting on me, and I hate to keep them waiting. Let's go.
ACC football kickoff coming to you live here on ACC Network.
For 3 days, ACC Network is live in Charlotte, bringing you inside access to your team.
The fun is the journey of doing it.
We hit the ground running, and we haven't stopped.
14 coaches and their players get set for the upcoming season.
We're really, really excited about our offense.
All-day coverage begins July 25th through 27th on ACC and is streaming live on the ESPN app.
This weekend on ESPN Radio, it's Interleague action at Fenway Park in Boston.
Gone! Justin Turner works it off!
Justin Turner and the Red Sox welcome Pete Alonso and the New York Mets.
Gone! A three-run homer for Pete Alonso!
The Red Sox and Mets. Coverage begins Saturday at 3:30 Eastern and Sunday at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio. You can also listen on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker.
Jets training camp opened today. Aaron Rodgers and company getting to work on a season with some expectations attached. ESPN's Rich Cimini, who covers the team, says Rodgers is all in.
Now he's really taken ownership. He's running the offense. He's running some meetings. He's coaching different position groups in the OTAs. Even when he wasn't practicing because of his calf injury, he was out there coaching the young receivers, the young running backs. So he's taken complete ownership. He knows that he's got to get these guys all on the same page. It's his offense, and he's trying to get everyone on board.
Rich Cimini, the Jets plan to cut wideout Denzel Mims if they can't trade him. Mims was a second-round pick back in 2020. Cowboys offensive lineman Zach Martin, who's a six-time first-team All-Pro and has missed only 8 games in 9 years, is considering not reporting to camp.
Martin is scheduled to make about $7 million less this year than the top paid players at his position. Cowboys camp opens Tuesday of next week. As a guest on the podcast, The Money Matters, Giants running back Saquon Barkley said he's considered not playing for the team this season. He's been trying to get a long-term contract, but is now under the franchise tender. Three people have died, including a police officer and the suspect, after a downtown shooting in Auckland, New Zealand. The city is one of the host sites for the Women's World Cup, which starts tomorrow. Team USA plays its first match in Auckland Friday night against Vietnam.
Yo, it's Jay Williams. Coming up on Thursday, just how many samples did I have at the grocery store this time? Wait until you hear my answer. It might just upset Pat and Yates. Don't miss it. 6 a.m. Eastern, right here on ESPN Radio, ESPN App, and ESPNU.
ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
All around the NFL, the good times are rolling as teams are starting to report to camp. That means that, yeah, you're not that far away from an NFL season. Matter of fact, 50 days away. One Mike Singletary away from the NFL season. This is Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio on the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance with Marcel Louis-Jacques. I'm Q Myers. We're in for the fellas this evening. And Marcel, it's been a long time, man. It's been a minute since we had a tag team show like this again, but it's great to be back with you, man. Are you, as a guy who covers the Miami Dolphins, are you a guy that's ready for the upcoming football season and training camp right around the corner?
Yeah, I am. This is usually my favorite time of year. You know, I'm a guy, I need structure in my life. I need to know, all right, I've got coach on Monday, I've got quarterback on Wednesday, coach again on Friday. So I don't care for vacations, I don't care for time off. After about 3 weeks of the off season, I'm like, all right, when's the season start? How many more months we got? How many more weeks we have? So this is a good time of year for people like me, man. I like being busy, and it is a dead sprint, you know, starting from July 26th until however far a team makes it.
Right. Well, the Miami Dolphins, they're expected to be players this year. I mean, they have obviously a really talented team. I don't have to tell you. You cover the team like a glove. But that division is going to be one that a lot of folks pay attention to, especially since there was a big acquisition this past offseason. That's Aaron Rodgers going to the New York Jets. And, Marcel, a lot of folks now believe it's Super Bowl or bust when it comes to the Jets. What says you?
Yeah. I totally and wholeheartedly agree. And if you don't make it, you are not getting an ounce nor a crumb of sympathy from me, because you cheated the process. You tried to cheat the game, and it didn't work. You had a rebuild going. Everything was going except the quarterback position, and that's your own fault for trusting Zach Wilson and Sam Darnold and all of these other no-shows they've taken in the top 10 the past decade. So you don't win a Super Bowl after trading for a future Hall of Famer, after all this talk, after all this hype, after all this and that. No, man. Not only will I not give you sympathy, I am going to laugh. I'm going to laugh. I'm going to clown you. I'm going to drag you through the street because you tried to cheat the game and you lost.
You know, and I don't know really, and he's Marcel Louis-Jacques, I'm with Q Myers here on Freddie and Fitzsimmons. I don't know if you would call it cheating the process and cheating the game, only because, as you mentioned, they tried to draft quarterbacks. They just didn't get one. And so now at least they recognize, hey, we got a strong defense. We just re-signed Quinnen Williams. He's a damn good player, right? We got a really good secondary. We have a really good run game. We have some nice weapons. Problem is, we don't have a quarterback that's worth the salt. So at least they went out and addressed it and said, okay, we are one quarterback away, but realize this quarterback's at the end of his rope. He's not going to be around for 5-6 years, so they've got to get it done in the next year or two, maybe max, only because who knows with Aaron Rodgers how long he's actually going to play.
Right, and you know what I will give them? You know, I might come with some harsh words if they don't win it, but for all the Jets fans listening right now, there is a precedent that says this team can win. You know, teams that consider themselves a legit quarterback away, who had that legitimate defense, who had weapons. You know, when we're looking at Tampa Bay with Tom Brady, when we're looking at Denver and Peyton Manning, like these are teams that were Super Bowl ready and just needed that final piece. You know, we're not talking about Derek Carr to the Saints. We're talking about a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback, one of the best to ever play the game. So I won't be surprised if they win the Super Bowl, which I think that adds to the reasoning why I'm gonna drag them a bit. I'm gonna give them some smoke if they don't win it, because they are equipped to do so. They should be able to do so.
You know, it's funny. I don't think that I'm just one that doesn't think that they're going to be a Super Bowl team. I just know how hard it is. As you know, it's so hard to get to the Super Bowl. You can have everything that looks great on paper, but everything's got to come together. And I mean, Aaron Rodgers is, for all his greatness, and like you mentioned, he's going to be a Hall of Famer when he's ready to. He's got one ring, right? It's not like it's Tom Brady that's got six rings heading to Tampa Bay. He's got one, right? So I mean, he's been able to get to the mountaintop and over the mountain one time. So we'll see. But to your credit, as you mentioned, Super Bowl or bust. Our very own Lewis Riddick, ESPN NFL analyst, was on Get Up, Greeny's show. We all know Greeny is all about the Jets. He was talking about if it's Super Bowl or bust for the Jets.
Nope, no. Don't enjoy it. I don't want them to enjoy nothing. I want them to get to the Super Bowl, and if not, you're going to be miserable, because that's what you get. Because you've been saying all offseason, Aaron, I agree with Aaron, this, Aaron, that. All last year, what was it? If we had a quarterback, we would be winning the division. We'd be smoking Buffalo. Yep. New England wouldn't even be in the picture. We could deal with Kansas City. We can deal with Cincy. We'd be as good as anybody. Well, what did they do this offseason? They went all in. They got the four-time MVP. He brought his offensive coordinator. He brought a couple of his boys in, Lazard and Cobb. They have firepower on the perimeter. They've got a shutdown type caliber defense. No. Win the Super Bowl or shut up.
Well, there you go. Lewis Riddick, sounds like he's got your back, Marcel. Yeah, so Lewis Riddick right there, ESPN and NFL analyst, talking about Super Bowl or bust, and basically he's going to give all the smoke, just like Marcel, to the Jets if they don't get it done. So we throw the question out there to you. You know, you want to be a part of the show at 1-888-729-3776, 1-888-729-3776. Will the Jets win the Super Bowl this upcoming season? Is it Super Bowl or bust? And Marcel, again, I throw it back to you.
Super Bowl or bust. Those are absolute bars from Lewis Riddick as I kind of fight through some technical difficulties here. I fight through the adversity. You know, you don't see me going to trade for a top-of-the-line microphone and studio setup. I'm fighting through with the setup I've got, because that's the kind of person that I am. So if the Jets don't reach the – if they don't hoist the Lombardi by the end of the season, then yeah, I think it makes you a laughingstock.
Really? I mean, like, I don't understand why it would make you a laughingstock. I understand that you didn't achieve your goal, but you went all in and said, we're going to try to do this not only for the team, but for the fan base that's been dying to have this team good, a team that's had the Patriots run that division for so long. The Jets are at least trying to do something. They're not sitting there saying, well, woe is us, we can't get it done. No, they went all in for a guy that is a future Hall of Famer.
And I can appreciate the effort. I can appreciate the effort. But like Lewis said, that's what we heard from Jets fans all season. That's what we heard from the Jets themselves all offseason. We're a quarterback away. Oh, if only we had a quarterback. Oh, look what we could do with Zach Wilson. Imagine if we had. So there's no more imagination.
I mean, they're not wrong, though. I mean, they are one quarterback away. It's just, can you get it done? 17 games, 18 weeks, get through the playoffs. Sometimes you got to have a little bit of luck on your side as well. So I'm not going to, you know, yell and scream at them if they don't get it done. I can appreciate the fact they're at least trying.
I can appreciate the effort. Anytime you have the ability to bring a Hall of Fame quarterback in, then sure. You got to at least try. You got to kick the tires. And for their credit, they were able to actually accomplish it.
Yeah. Now, I think
comes expectations.
For sure. No, the expectations are sky high. You know, and I'm going to be interested, and obviously everyone's going to be interested, as they got a boatload of primetime games just to see it. I'll be interested in it, but, you know, I just know that it's so difficult to just say, okay, we made these moves, and now that's going to pencil us in for the Super Bowl, right? I mean, you know, it just doesn't work out like that, no matter how good your team is. Look, we can say that about the Chiefs. Oh, yeah, they're great. They're going to be in the Super Bowl. Yeah, are they? There's so much that goes into that, right? It's just so difficult. That's the problem.
it is difficult. It's a long season. You know, injuries happen. Mm-hmm. You know, players become ineffective. The yips occur. You never know. It's so unpredictable. Or, you know, you could have a team, you know, when we look at, like, Buffalo, say, last season, so many things can just wear you down mentally that it doesn't matter how talented you are. You're still a human being at the end of the day. But sometimes you just don't have it.
Right.
I think that's what we saw from the Bills.
College football, you could pencil in Alabama, for the most part, Georgia, you could pencil in Ohio State, and you could pencil in other, right, and feel pretty comfortable that they're going to be in the playoffs, right? I mean, that's what you could do. In the NFL, it's so much different. There's going to be teams that are good that weren't good last year. There's going to be teams that were good last year that are going to be terrible this year. Like, I mean, that's just something, that's the inevitable that's going to happen. Where do the Jets fall in place there? That is going to be the big question.
And you know what, Q? You know what, Q? I think part of the responsibility for all this hype comes from us. Not just me and you specifically. It comes right from the media train.
For sure.
You know, we're seeing it. Everybody who's talking about the Jets are the favorite. We're seeing them on Hard Knocks now. Like, it's going to be such a saturated amount of content coming from the New York Jets that we almost put the crown on them.
Right.
For them. And so, like, we're driving those sort of expectations. And so, you know, when I say it's Super Bowl or bust, when Lewis Riddick says it's Super Bowl or bust, we're in part responsible for that.
No doubt.
But that's where it's at right now. That's where expectations are right now. You expect a Super Bowl out of the Jets.
Well, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, look, if you thought that the offseason of Aaron was a lot and Aaron Rodgers was the
depths of the Dollar Loan Center Arena in Henderson, Nevada, and accessed exclusively on the World Wide Web at don'tbebroke.com, I present to you the Loan Approval Machine.
Let's face it, banks don't lend money anymore, and payday loan companies charge too much. Nobody has you covered like the DLC, with our signature loans up to $5,000 in less than 30 minutes. Dollar Loan Center's been in business for more than 20 years and has over 250,000 customers for a reason. We're quick, inexpensive, safe, regulated, friendly, and have a cool jingle.
Licensed by the Nevada Financial Institutions Division. Certain limitations may apply. Loans are subject to approval.
Hi, it's Ashley here from Southern Nevada's newest luxury dealership, Jaguar Land Rover Henderson. If you're looking for a new or certified pre-owned Jaguar or Land Rover, your search is finally over. We're increasing both of these inventory levels rapidly to serve our growing demand. Come and enjoy our unmatched service and ownership experience at Finley Automotive's newest luxury dealership, Jaguar Land Rover Henderson, located in the Valley Auto Mall or online at jlrhenderson.com.
Stiners, Nevada Style Pub invites you to play the best tavern, keno, and video poker in Vegas. Promos are how we roll, so make the most of your gaming dollars here with us. Come play our proud partner gaming promotion, Blazing Battles, and receive daily free play, bonuses, and more, with a chance to win branded prizes and big money for all those jackpots each week. It's not only great gaming the Stiners Pub has, it's the awesome 24 rotating draft beers and best appetizers to match. So join us in supporting your Las Vegas Aviators and all your Vegas sports teams as we make history in Nevada. Stiners, the Nevada Style Pub at 8410 West Cheyenne, 1750 North Buffalo, and Las Vegas Boulevard and Windmill. Stiners, I love this place.
All right, welcome back to Salt Lake City. Well, we have an update for you. Tonight's game has been postponed due to rain. The Aviators game here in Salt Lake City scheduled against the Bees. Game two, game one last night was won by the Aviators by a score of 11-8. We're told there's a 30% chance of showers, and it turns out it's 100%. So the game's been rained out, and the rain is not coming down terribly hard, but with a forecast, they feel it's better to just not have the game at this point. So there'll be a doubleheader tomorrow to make up for tonight's rainout. The forecast for tomorrow is good, which is one reason why they didn't wait long before deciding to postpone this game. So she should be no problem. A doubleheader has been scheduled for tomorrow, 5:05 Mountain Time. So in the Pacific time zone back in Las Vegas, it will be a 4:05 first pitch for game one, 3:50 for the pregame show here on Raider Nation Radio AM 920. Two 7-inning games beginning tomorrow
again at 4:05 Pacific with the pregame at 3:50, about 25 minutes or so between games, 2 7-inning games for tomorrow here in Salt Lake City. I thank you for tuning in, and unfortunately no game tonight because of the rain, but we'll be back tomorrow, and as Ernie Banks once said, we'll play two. Indeed we will. So I want to give thanks to all of you for tuning in, and we'll send it back to the Lotus Nerve Center for more syndicated programming. And this is Russ Langer signing off from Salt Lake City for tonight. We'll speak to you tomorrow. Thank you for tuning in.
You've been listening to Las Vegas Aviators Baseball on AM 920 Raider Nation Radio. Brought to you by Visit Laughlin.com, Laborers 872, Pulte Homes, America First Credit Union, Valley Health System, STN Sports, and Credit One Bank, the official credit card of the Las Vegas Aviators. Thanks for listening to Las Vegas Aviators Baseball on AM 920 Raider Nation Radio.
The national championship game, their football success, they've won 10 or more games five times since 2015. So I think they're in a perfect spot. I really do. I think they've done everything right, and now they need that invitation, whether it's from the Pac-12 or Big 12 or wherever it might come from.
All right. Looks like San Diego State's going to be a member of the Mountain West through 2024. Is that a guarantee at this point?
I don't think there's any guarantee. So I really don't. I mean, I think there's a guarantee right. They'll be playing Ohio on August 26th, yeah. And they'll be in the Mountain West in 2023.
Love that new stadium, by the way. You mentioned it, Snapdragon Stadium out there where the Chargers stadium used to be out there in the Valley. That's a great place for the Aztecs to play.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah. It is. It's a big part of their future. It really is, being at Snapdragon Stadium. And, again, they've had a lot of football success. They've done it the right way, investing. It's like, this isn't relegation. It's like, if it was relegation, they'd already be in the Power Five. They've won a lot in football and basketball. They need an invitation. But Snapdragon Stadium, there's not a lot of schools that have made that type of investment, $350 million investment in college athletics. I mean, not a lot of programs across the country have done that, so it's a credit to San Diego State.
Yeah, it's disappointing for San Diego to lose the Chargers. I still talk to people all the time in San Diego who hate that happened.
Yeah,
obviously, and Aztecs have had some really good years, though, in football and basketball. All right, so let's talk about the Mountain West football preseason media poll. And Wes Reynolds, I'm sure it does not surprise you to see Boise State as the favorite and Air Force number two.
Yeah, look, Andy Avalos seems to have a lot of talent this year. You have Talon Green returning at quarterback. So got to replace some guys up front on the offensive line. But the defense was arguably the best in the conference. So, yeah, not surprised to see that order, 1, 2, 3, and 4.
How about you, John Schaefer? When we look at the Mountain West preseason poll, Boise 1, Air Force 2. Fresno 3, and the Bulldogs lose a lot, including quarterback Jay Kaner. San Diego State 4, San Jose 5. Siobhan Cordero, the quarterback, I think voted preseason offensive player of the year, transfer from Hawaii. Wyoming, Colorado State, Utah.